This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Paul Pelosi, a story about me. Elon Musk, we have a Navy SEAL on tonight. Ryan Gerdusky, so much coming up on I'm Right. Okay, let me tell you a little story about me. Now, this is going to get to the narrative. I'm even going to lead this into Paul Pelosi and everything else. Just this, maybe a story you know, maybe a story you don't. If you've been watching for any extended period of time, you know it. But here's the story. You know, Blake Masters is running in Arizona, right? He's running for Senate in Arizona against Mark Kelly. He's up in the polls or tied in the polls or slightly down in the polls, depending on which poll you believe. But it's close, right? Let me tell you a story about me. I ran for Congress in Arizona. Did you know that? I got out of the Marine Corps back in 2004, moved to Arizona to work in the family construction business. That's what I was doing. Got mad when Barack Obama ran for office, decided I'm running for Congress. All right, so I go all in, okay? Barack Obama gets elected, I go all in. I'm running for Congress. I got to do something. I'd never been involved in politics, but that was my beginning. I make stupid decisions, hot-headed, stupid decisions. And I get in the race, and I run hard. When I say run hard, I don't mean I was just sitting there on social media putting out tweets or something. If there was an American Legion, a VFW, a Rotary Club, a Republican meeting, I was there shaking hands, kissing babies, giving speeches, making sure everyone knew who I was, trying to get my name out there. I'm the firebrand, right? So for a while, because the Democrat was Gabrielle Giffords, she was the incumbent at the time. And for a while, it didn't look like it was going to be a winnable race. Giffords had a huge war chest, popular kind of a thing. So no one else really got in. It was just me. I didn't care, though. No one could talk me out of it. Again, I make stupid decisions all the time. Nah, I'm running. I don't care. That kind of thing. And then Barack Obama and the Democrats, as they always do, they care about power more than popularity, very wisely, by the way. They care about power more than popularity, and they decide to pass Obamacare. Now, a little revisionist history, people look at Obamacare now as something that was popular, or at least they're not sure about it. America hated Obamacare. Before it was even passed, they hated Obamacare, despised it. They saw it and didn't trust it, didn't like it. Democrats passed it anyway, just crammed it through. One of those things, they did every dirty thing imaginable, they passed Obamacare. Now, boom, it looks like it's going to be a red wave year because America's mad. Go get them, right? As soon as it became a red wave year, the race, my race, that it didn't look like a Republican could win, now it looks like a Republican can win. Now they changed it to a toss-up. Never know. So what happens? Believe me, this is all going to tie back to today. Just hang with me. The establishment GOP, I know you're going to be shocked by this, but they weren't big fans of mine. I was a little bit further to the right than they were, and they said I was disrespectful of them. Again, ridiculous, but that's what they said. So they found a guy, state senator, and decided to run their boy. And it's very hard to raise money when you're not known in politics. So it was something we were always scratching and clawing. And money's really important in politics. You don't have to like that, but it is. Got to pay for those TV ads and bumper stickers, and campaigns, and everything else. They run their boy, and keep in mind, I think I've been running for like 8-9 months at this point in time. I've been in the race a long time. Their boy gets in, and because he had the establishment on his side, he threw one fundraiser, his opening night fundraiser, and word came in the next day that in one night, he had raised more money. It was over $500,000, if memory serves me. In one night, he had raised more money than we had the entire 8-9 months I'd already been running. Disheartening, right? Oh, it was a gut punch. But again, didn't care. Still going to run. Let's do it. Now, we know because of the money situation and because he was a known state senator, we knew we were behind the eight ball, or at least we thought we were. Everyone knows who he is. He's got all this money. But what are we going to do? we made a decision. We were going to keep running hard, keep going out there, grinding, knocking on doors, everything. But we decided we were going to take the limited money we had and we were going to spend it on TV. When people see someone on TV, it's human nature. You think they're important or a celebrity of some kind. When they're not. You know, most of the people you see on TV are just dorks or doofuses, but it's just human nature. You see someone on TV, wow. So we're going to spend it on TV ads. Now, we didn't have a ton of money, so we're not buying primetime American Idol TV ads. It was more like late night Fox News and History Channel, but we were on TV and we spent every dime we had. Forget it, let's blow it out. We got to try to win this primary. Primary night comes, boom, won. Beat him real soundly, actually spanked him pretty good. Life is good, right? Well, let's pause. Now let's go to Blake Masters, because this is gonna be important when it comes to Blake Masters. Arizona has something really stupid that they do. No defense of it, it's very, very, very stupid. Their primary is late August. August is their primary, but it's not just stupid like that. It's doubly stupid because about half of the voters in Arizona, because there are a lot of seniors move around the country, about half of the voters in Arizona vote early. They vote early. So not only do you have this late primary, that's bad. Now you have half the voters voting early, meaning half your electorate is voting in the general election like 15 minutes after the primary election is over. It's a problem, right? Let's go back to me. So I win the primary, handily. I'm now the GOP nominee for Congress. Woohoo! This is, by the way, the 2010 election cycle, if you want to look this up. And immediately after the primary, Gabrielle Giffords goes on TV with all these lying ads. They spliced up a bunch of video making it look like I was going to take away people's Social Security and Medicare. Now, I'm not mad or bitter about that. That's politics. Politics is a contact sport. Of course they're going to lie. What else are they going to do? The Democrats, of course they're going to lie. Okay, so she's up on TV telling every senior I'm going to take away their Social Security check. What am I doing? I'm burning up the phones asking, where's my money, GOP? I'm now the nominee. Help? Anyone going to help? Any help here? Because I wasn't their boy, the GOP establishment froze me out. What's that? Jesse Kelly? Who's this? Never heard of him. 3 weeks this went on. 3 weeks of me being savaged on TV and not one Jesse Kelly ad on televisions. Finally, they woke up and realized this was a race that we can win. Excuse me. So the money comes in. Boom, we go on TV. And what happened? Election day came. And as far as the election day votes that were counted, we beat her. Beat Gabrielle Giffords. Woohoo! Youngest congressman in Congress. Wait, no, I wasn't. Because remember those early votes? While the GOP establishment was sitting with their hands in their pockets and I was getting savaged on TV, half the voters were voting early, and I ended up losing by 4,000 votes is all. Took them a week to recount. I beat her on election day, but lost the election because so many people voted early when the GOP screwed me over. Now let's go to today. Blake Masters, young, hothead, firebrand, believes what you believe, believes what I believe. You know I never like politicians. I like this guy, man. This guy's inspiring. Well, Blake Masters also won his primary in August. And also in August, it was announced Mitch McConnell was pulling millions of dollars in advertising out of Arizona. For weeks, Blake Masters sat there being savaged by Mark Kelly's gigantic war chest while people were voting early in Arizona. Now, fast forward to today, what do you see? Well, what you see is, of course, Blake Masters is up in the polls or tied in the polls and raising a bunch of money and everyone's out there. Red wave! We're gonna own the Senate, we got everything, woohoo! I'm telling you right now, as far as candidates running for Senate in the United States of America, there's not a better candidate running than Blake Masters, and there's a very good chance he is losing this race solidly right now. You just can't see it yet because the early votes haven't been counted. This is a long way of me telling you this. Go vote on election day in Arizona and drag friends and family with you because you are losing. You are losing in Arizona. And by the way, this applies equally to Pennsylvania because they have the same kind of stupid system over there. be aware of what's happening out there. Now, why does this stuff happen? Because narratives are set. Narratives are critically important. I've talked about them a lot on the show. You know this. The narrative. I'm always referencing the narrative. The narrative is huge. The narrative is what? The narrative is the basic truth of any story that gets cemented in the minds of a huge percentage of the population early on. Look, this Paul Pelosi thing is a great example right now. It really is astounding. What do we know about the attack? What happened? Well, we don't know a ton. We do know this Dave DePepe guy who allegedly attacked Paul Pelosi. We know that he lives in Berkeley. He has Black Lives Matter signs and gay pride signs hanging from his home, a home neighbors describe as, quote, a hippie collective. We know his former life partner, a convicted pedophile, by the way, came out and said he is mentally ill. He has been mentally ill for some time. So what do we know right now? Well, we know it looks pretty bad for Paul Pelosi. What's this guy doing in your home? There's cameras, security detail. On the phone, we have cell phone. We have the 911 call stuff where Paul Pelosi's saying he's a friend. He's calling him a friend, but we don't know. Look, we don't know. We know it looks pretty bad. What is this, some kind of gay hookup thing that went wrong? Drugs? We don't know. With your underwear, in your underwear with a strange man at 2 a.m. is generally not a situation most men find themselves in. But okay, we don't know. Let's at least settle on we don't know. Well, remember the narrative we were just talking about? We're watching it happen again in real time. Just like happened in Ferguson, Missouri, just like happened for COVID, St. George, Floyd, just like happened with the Covington kids, just like happened with a thousand other stories. We're watching the system set a narrative early for the story that half the country will believe in. I heard from someone the other day, and her father's a Democrat and was in her home and was on a phone call with her uncle, so her father's brother. And her father couldn't hear, so her father put the phone on speakerphone, started talking to her uncle, and they were discussing the Paul Pelosi attack. And you know what they came up with? That Trump was somehow behind the attack on Paul Pelosi. Here's former President Barack Obama.
You know, I want to take a moment to say a prayer for a friend of mine, Mr. Paul Pelosi. When we don't just disagree with people, but we start demonizing them, making wild, crazy allegations about them, that creates a dangerous climate. And if elected officials don't do more to explicitly reject that kind of rhetoric, if they tacitly support it or encourage their supporters to stand outside voting places armed with guns and dressed in tactical gear, more people can get hurt.
Yeah. Got to be careful with that rhetoric, don't you? I mean, imagine if you had, like, the president himself get up on national TV and call MAGA Republicans a threat to the democracy. Imagine if something like that happened. Boy, imagine the kind of environment that would create. Imagine if the entire Democratic Party, academia, the media, spent 6 years, a decade, describing Republicans as Nazis and white supremacists. Imagine the kind of environment that would create. But back to the narrative, it wasn't just former President Barack Obama. Current President Joe Biden had this to say.
And what makes us think the one party can talk about stolen elections, COVID being a hoax, there's all a bunch of lies, and not affect people who may not be so well balanced? What makes us think that it's not going to corrode the political climate? Enough is enough is enough. Every person of good conscience needs to clearly and unambiguously stand up against the violence in our politics, regardless of what your politics are.
Yeah. 395. Now, I may be a little dated. because I believe the article courtesy of Breitbart was a few months ago, maybe 6 months ago, but 395 incidents of assault and murder against Trump supporters by the leftists in this country. Not one word from Joe Biden about it. Paul Pelosi gets beaten by a vegan Black Lives Matter hippie in his home who may or may not have been invited there, and all of a sudden it's your fault and it's my fault. The media is running with it too. Now, I know you're not believing that. You're not going to believe that narrative. I know you're not. But how many will? What percentage of the country will believe it? And how badly does it damage the country when a high enough percentage of the people in this country believe this lie all the time? How much does it damage a nation when so many Americans believe, or they frankly live in a world that is not real at all? And there's been a lot of talk, real quickly, as I wrap this up here, about Elon Musk buying Twitter and why that's a really great thing. We have more free speech now. And one of the big talks over the weekend was Elon Musk responding to Hillary Clinton, putting up a post after Hillary again blamed you for the attack. And Elon puts up a post about who this guy was. And maybe there's more to the story, but people really missed it on our side. The story isn't that he put up the post. The story was that Elon Musk, after finally countering the narrative, deleted the post. Why? Who got to Elon? Who made that phone call? All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. Now, you know what else makes me uncomfortable? Something I've been going through for a long time. Two things. One, I reach back in my back pocket and grab my wallet, and then I'm opening up my wallet and I have to get my cards out and they're not getting out. Or I started going to the smaller little mini wallets where you just keep a couple cards in there. But even those, I would either have a hard time getting the cards out in the beginning, or it would loosen up so fast that the cards would just fall out. Now every time I pull out my wallet, things are falling out. You wanna see something really freaking cool? Look at this. See this? These are my cards in there. See that? You can see the cards up top. See those cards up top? Now check this out. Oh, not coming out at all. That's weird. Hang on one second. Oh, look at that. Popped right out or locked in. Grip 6 wallets are the coolest things ever. Maybe the coolest thing about it is you get to do what I've done and annoy your wife, because every time I get to pull this out, I tell her, hey, excuse me, honey, and I pop this thing up and she rolls her eyes at me. That might be the best part of it. Grip 6. They have sweet belts too, by the way. Amazing socks. But these are the coolest thing ever. They have more designs than this. This was just the one I wanted. You can have the loop or not have the loop. Tell me that's not one of the coolest gadgets you've seen. Go to grip6.com, code Jesse20, get you 10% off the whole order, all right? Grip6.com, code Jesse20. We'll be back.
Each morning, the President of the United States receives a highly classified briefing on the most important issues facing the country. It's called the President's Daily Brief, or PDB. It's delivered by America's spies and analysts. Well, now you can hear your very own PDB in the form of a podcast hosted by me, Brian Dean Wright, a former CIA operations officer. Each morning at 6 a.m. Eastern, I'll bring you 15 to 20 minutes of the most important issues facing the country, giving you the critical intelligence and analysis you need to start your morning.
Different dude. That's Elon Musk, richest man in the world, walking into Twitter holding a kitchen sink. If we're going to talk about Twitter and social media and people being censored on there and what's to come, there's probably nobody better to talk to than, well, you would know her as Libs of TikTok, the one who's out there doing research, exposing so many dirty things going on right now. For now, we're actually going to use her real name, Chaya. Chaya, okay, Elon Musk takes over Twitter. We see him chirping at everyone from Hillary Clinton to LeBron James. He's firing people. I don't know. I don't get on the billionaire worship bandwagon, but is this going to be good or bad? I can't tell.
Well, I think it's definitely going to be better than how it was before. So before, obviously, we all know we were seeing insane levels of Twitter censorship. And I don't know. I have hope in what's going to happen. But of course, I think that we should give it some time. I mean, in the next couple of weeks, I think we'll see what Elon's plans are. But it's definitely going to be better than how it was.
Speaking of how it was, you have been doxxed. You were an anonymous account for very good reasons. Many people, I always argue most people should be anonymous because of how vicious these little communists are anymore. And you were anonymous, but then you got exposed. What happened?
Yeah, so Taylor Lorenz wrote a report basically doxxing me, including a lot of personal information. What's interesting is that Taylor actually didn't break the story. She got a tip-off from an individual who is funded by the German government about my real name from a previous handle. So I always like to say that because Taylor got so much credit. She doesn't deserve all the credit. She's not that great of a researcher and a journalist. I just want to make sure that's clear. And
keep going.
So she included all that information about me, and then now my name is known. It was obviously extremely stressful. I did not know what was going to happen. She showed up to relatives' homes. I had to quickly travel, go into hiding. So it was very stressful, but that part is over, and now I just, you know, my name is just famous, and I just live with that.
Is this pretty much what our future is now, this kind of harassment of anybody who exposes things they don't like? Because what's most ironic is you don't provide a ton of commentary on social media. You take the things they're already putting out there publicly and you put them out there publicly, and yet they hate you for it.
I provide the least commentary from any account of my size, even accounts half my size. I provide so little commentary, and they can't handle it because it's the biggest threat to their agenda is to just tell them exactly what they themselves are saying and doing. And I think that they will go after anyone who threatens their agenda. And the thing with the left is that they have no issue lying. Like, everything they say is a lie. They just lie all day. Everything's a lie. Everything's fake, everything's staged, and everything's a lie. And so they'll just lie about me, and they'll lie about anyone who's trying to expose their agenda, or they'll lie about anyone who doesn't agree with all their policies.
You take care of yourself. Come back soon. All right. Health insurance. Where do you have your health insurance? And I ask, look, I'm not judging. I've had a bunch of different health insurance companies that were garbage, had garbage values. I only ask because your health insurance company is very likely a trash, woke company. OneShare Health is not. OneShare Health shares your values. Your values. It's a faith-based insurance company, taking care of veterans with your money. 5% of your monthly goes to veterans struggling with PTSD. You're not sacrificing coverage. The prices are outstanding. Vision, dental, it doesn't matter what you need. They have you covered, and you can actually feel good about paying for your health insurance. Who's ever said something like that? Go to my.oneshareHealth.com/Kelly. Promo code Jesse Kelly gets you $75 off your enrollment fee. Dump that lousy insurance company you have and start paying for a company that shares your values. Go now. We'll be back.
Yes. So, sir, come on. Right now, I'm talking. You'll have a chance to talk sometime soon. You don't have to interrupt each other. You don't have to shout each other down. So, listen, that's okay. No. Wait. Quiet down. Hold up. Hold on a minute.
This is, listen, everybody. Hey, y'all up there, pay attention.
I can't tell you how much I enjoy that. Watching these vile communists finally be savaged by the own little vile little street monsters they've created. It's wonderful. That was Obama getting heckled. Joining me now, my friend Ryan Gerdusky of the great 1776 Project PAC. You know all those congressional seats we're talking about, you're excited about? I'm excited about the school board races. Ryan's out there busy winning instead. All right, Ryan, Obama on the campaign trail, this confuses me. I understand you can't have Biden on the campaign trail. Everyone hates his guts. But do people forget that Obama was not popular either? He would go campaign for people who lost all the time. I don't understand this move at all. Am I missing something?
He has 90-something percent with black voters. Black voters vote 90% for Democrats. And it's a midterm election, so it's a turnout model, a turnout game. Democrats have figured out that white progressives are going to show up. And we've seen in some early election turnout numbers that areas with high concentrations of college-educated whites are turning out in very high numbers. Who aren't turning out are black voters. They're not turning out in Michigan. They're not turning out in Georgia. They're not turning out so far in New York. And that's very problematic. Without the black vote, Democrats cannot win. And they're bringing in the guy who can do their Hail Mary pass to sit there and get the black voters at what they think. But he's being heckled in a place that he shouldn't be.
Okay, why aren't the black voters turning out? Because as you have explained before, they are always reliably Democrat and they turn out and they vote. Why are they not turning out now?
Well, they haven't voted in a couple other elections. 2010, 2014, 2016, the black vote was very depressed. And 2022 is looking a lot like that. I just don't think that their issues of, maybe they do care a lot about abortion. They are very supportive of abortion. But the idea of saving democracy, and look, the Democratic Party now is the party of two concentrated voters, white women and black voters. Those are the two people they try to appeal to the most. And yet, most of the talking points come out of like the most lunatic fringe, Mary Trump, like feminist left, standard talking point. And the idea of like preserving democracy is not really the top of the priority. And they're being as hit just as hard on most of the economic stuff as possible. And I don't think they're very motivated to turn out for a lot of these Democrats. I mean, even Stacey Abrams, we're seeing the black vote in Georgia under 30%. And she's getting, we're probably going to get it done like 29, 28%. It's going to be problematic. This is why she's going to lose.
Okay, now I've watched Republicans lie to themselves for years about how black voters are starting to turn into Republicans. That's never been true. Now, I don't think it's true today either. Are we seeing the beginning of that, or are they just mad at Democrats, but they're still not voting Republican at all?
So Trump did everything he possibly could to appeal to black voters, and he made a little bit of ground up among young black men, especially young black men who go to college, tend to be more Republican than the average. They vote about 15% Republican, but they make up about 1-2% of black voters overall. Black voters over the age of 40 are never, ever, ever voting Republican. That black woman who goes to church every Sunday and is pro-life and loves Jesus, she is never voting Republican ever. So until, and this sounds crass to say, but until that generation dies out, you have no ability to move black numbers in any sizable way like you do with Hispanics or Asians or Jews or other, or they did with fourth ethnic whites two generations ago. It's just not a movable group of people.
Okay. Well, let's shift gears and talk about the Senate here, because there are, honestly, I never care about the Senate because all our senators basically suck. There's like three good ones. But there are two running this year I very much care about, Blake Masters and J.D. Vance. I am huge fans of both of these guys. First of all, J.D. Vance, please tell me he's going to win in Ohio. I was born there. I want them to have a decent senator.
So I work on the J.D. Vance's super PAC, so I have to say that out loud ahead of time so you know I'm coming with a certain bias. But according to our internal, according to public polls, J.D. Vance is going to win. He's going to win probably around the Trump numbers, which is about 8%. the media, the donors, done everything to prop up Tim Ryan, and it's not sticking whatsoever. The interesting thing is that Tim Ryan has run as this moderate, and for the first time ever, it's shown in both our own internals and in public polls, a majority of voters now view him as liberal, and he's promised to say everything to everybody. And now he's hanging out with a Lincoln Projecter, so now he is going to, J.D. Vance is going to win, and Tim Ryan is going to lose.
Okay, well, I'm going to ask you as best you can to put your J.D. Vance bias aside for a moment. Why is he winning with those kind of numbers? I mean, I understand him winning, obviously. Ohio is one of those purple states, can go either way. That's a butt-whipping. Why?
Well, Ohio is not really a purple state anymore. Ohio, I mean, it's just not. Ohio stayed exactly the same place from 2016 to 2020, despite the country moving left. And that's because the Democrats have told white voters, I hate you, and I hope you die, and I hope I make your life miserable while I'm doing it. And they just don't, they don't buy it. I mean, they're very economically probably centrist. They do have a lot of, they do support things like tariffs. They're not libertarians. But at the same time, they're very socially to the right. They're not big on abortion. They love guns. They have a lot of people who will still attend church. They don't believe there's 37 genders, and they don't believe that boys should be in girls' sports. And that's really where Democrats have drawn the line. And Tim Ryan has been wishy-washy on almost every issue you could possibly imagine. He wanted to let opioid drug dealers out of prison. So, I mean, there's just, and in a state that's been horribly affected by the opioid epidemic, he's just, I mean, at this point, I think I think actually right now the state legislature of Ohio is more Republican than the state legislature of Texas. It's that far right. I think we're at the point where we're not going to see another Democrat winning statewide. I think Sherrod Brown will probably lose in 2 years as well, and that will be it for the Democratic Party of Ohio.
Well, it's not difficult to be more Republican than Texas. People who don't live here like I do not realize what a bunch of weenies the Republican Party is in this state. Total bunch of losers. Ryan Gerdusky, please go support his 1776 Project PAC. I mean that. We will not save this country from Washington, D.C., J.D. Vance or otherwise. School boards are how we save this country. Thank you, Ryan. I appreciate it, brother.
Thank you.
All right. We're not done yet. We still got a Navy SEAL. How cool is that? Before we get to that, I want to get to this. Let's get to the fact that your air sucks in your home and probably your area in general. Air gets dirty. We live in these homes with all this air recirculating. I know you have a filter and all this stuff. I know, but it's inevitable. Viruses and mold are in your air. It's a big reason why you get sick. Our family is now on a year of the cleanest bill of health we've ever had over a year-long span. We track all this for budget reasons. What changed? We have 3 Eden Pure thunderstorms in our home. It's just this little black box. Not like your normal air purifier where it's this huge tower. It's just a little black box, plugs in the outlet in the wall, hardly makes any noise. You don't really know it's there. And yet it's killing the viruses and mold all the time, cleaning out your air. That's why they call it a thunderstorm. It's because it does in your home the same thing nature does after a thunderstorm. You know how you walk outside and you can taste how the air has been cleaned? How about that in your house? Go get a 3-pack of Eden Pure Thunderstorms. You'll thank me. Everyone else does. Go to EdenPureDeals.com. Code Jesse gets you that 3-pack for $200 off. EdenPureDeals.com. Code Jesse. We'll be back.
People are very upset about crime, education, parental rights, about the economy, gas prices. It's death by a thousand cuts for so many families who can't afford rent, gas, groceries, Halloween candy. Everything's so expensive, and the Democrats own it.
That was GOP Chairwoman Rona McDaniel, and I can't necessarily say she was wrong there, but the question is, what are we going to do about it? I mean, it's not hard to point out the fact that Democrats suck. Democrats suck bad. What are we going to do to reverse any of this? Not stop it, slow it down. How are we going to reverse this nonsense? You know I don't get excited about people running for office, right? But you also know the 4 races in the country I've been telling you I actually deeply care about. Joe Kent in Washington, J.D. Vance, Ohio, Blake Masters in Arizona, and also in Arizona, my friend Eli Crane, former Navy SEAL, and now hopefully about to be a congressman. Eli, we hear all the time from the Republican Party about the fact Democrats suck. And I realize that's campaigning. They do suck. Good, 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 good. But then they get to office, and it's always a long list of things, long list of reasons why they can't do anything. Oh, sorry, I can't do this. Well, we have an election coming up, or this might hurt fundraising. Is that changing?
You know, I hope it is, Jesse. You know, and I can't tell you for sure, but I think that we have more and more candidates coming into this fight that never wanted to be politicians. I think that helps a lot when you never wanted to, you know, do this job anyway, and when you're perfectly fine, you know, going back to what you were doing. And so I think it's going to change quite a bit. I do want to be realistic with you and your, you know, viewers. I still think you're solid America First candidates like myself and some of the other ones that you just met. I still think that we're going to be the minority in this Congress, but I do see our numbers growing, and I do think you're going to see a benefit to having stronger, you know, America First candidates in office that don't care if, you know, if they go home because they never needed it in the first place.
Oh, I love that. See, that's what I've been telling people. It's not, this Congress is not all of a sudden going to be a GOP that actually has testosterone, but the levels are growing. They're still going to be low T, but it'll be higher than they were before, and which that's improvement, which brings me to an article that's making the rounds in The Atlantic today, talking about what they call it, and COVID amnesty is what they called it, how we need to take all the people who abused this country for 2 years and just live and let live, and let's just let bygones be bygones. And I'm sorry, Eli, I outright reject that, man. When I hear the stories of the suffering caused by those, there has to be some sort of a reckoning for somebody, right?
I sure hope so, Jesse, and I know that that's one of the enumerated powers that you have in Congress is to hold investigations, oversight, you know, all of that. And I think that we're gonna definitely see that with Dr. Fauci and others. I'm hoping that the Department of Justice does its part in that. If we're able to expose, you know, what I think is there, I think there was a lot of just lies and misrepresentations coming from Dr. Fauci, you know, and the medical apparatus in this country. And I really hope we can be a part of holding some folks accountable. You know, Jesse, I talk to people all the time that say, hey, Eli, you know, we don't want to see you guys push forward with these investigations. We're worried about the economy. We're worried about the border. We're worried about getting things back on track. That's all fine and great, and I agree with that. But here's the deal. If we don't hold any of these people accountable, if there continues to be a two-tier justice system, then good, hardworking Americans that want justice, they start to check out, and they don't think that we will actually fight for them. They think that there will always be two tiers of justice. They will always get the shaft, and that's not okay. And it's not fair. It's not balanced. And you know, we need to make sure that we're doing a good job representing those concerns and also fighting for justice, Jesse. Because as you know, this country is so partisan. If you have the wrong set of politics, if you have the wrong ideas, you know, if you don't go along with the groupthink, there's a completely different set of, you know, standards for you, and that's not okay.
No, it's not okay. And actually, to his point about checking out, full disclosure, probably should have told everyone this at the beginning of the show, I voted early today here in Texas. I left a lot of Republican slots blank. Didn't vote for the Democrat, but I left them blank. If you locked down my state and abused my people over COVID, you're never getting my support again. Screw them all. Which leads me to your loser of an opponent, Eli. I saw this dandy. Watch this video. I'm sure you've seen it.
How do you view the current immigration situation?
Well, first of all, we just had started a pandemic back then, and we're through 2 years of it and into a third year. And secondly, we have a war in Ukraine that has a problem with the worldwide marketplace. And thirdly, we have a food shortage throughout the world also, not in America. We don't have a fuel problem in America. That's why it's a worldwide issue.
Eli, so he was asked about illegal immigration, which I know affects your state because I lived there a long time, and he started talking about COVID in Ukraine. These people were lost.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing, Jesse. The guy is running attack ads right now trying to compare me to white supremacists and Nazis and all sorts of things. He's scared of losing power. This guy's been a career politician for 20 years, Jesse. He actually started as a Republican. Then he became an independent, and now he's a Democrat. because he thinks that's what he needs to do to win. And so it's tough to get a straight answer out of him. He actually denied that inflation, you know, was caused by, you know, the massive spending that he continues to support. You know, you remember, it wasn't very long ago, Jesse, the entire Democratic apparatus tried to say that this inflation was going to be transitory. Then when they knew people weren't buying that, then they said, oh, it's caused by Vladimir Putin. I think coming up next week, Jesse, you're going to see that the American people see through all of this nonsense. They know that inflation is created up in Washington, D.C. when politicians continue to spend money that we don't have at an absurd rate on many things that we don't even need. And I think that we're also going to see the American people are seeing right through these attack ads, because they're not just hitting me with the, you know, it's not just me being hit with the Eli's an extremist thing. They're hitting Carrie Lake, Blake Masters, and several other, you know, pretty strong America First candidate with the exact same, you know, attack, because they want Americans and the constituents to fear us. That's all they got. They can't talk about the economy. He clearly couldn't talk about the border and what he's done there. He can't talk about crime in the streets. He can't talk about what our kids are learning in school. So they're faced with no other option but to try and, you know, character assassination and smear us personally.
Eli, tell people how they can support you, and please go support him. He needs it right now. It's a dirty state, the way that early voting works. How do people support you?
Thank you, brother. EliForArizona.com is the best way to support us. Jesse, we appreciate all that you're doing. That's all I can say. You know, I have a sticker up on my mirror. It says, "What would Jesse Kelly do?" I look at it every single day. whenever I feel like I'm being too soft, I just go back to, "What would Jesse Kelly do, man?"
Yeah, Navy SEALs, you're famously very soft. EliForArizona.com. Go give him some money, please. He needs it. Thank you, my brother. Semper Fi.
Yes, sir. Thank you, brother.
All right. It is Halloween. Maybe you're getting some last-minute handout ideas for the kids. Congratulations. I'm about to give you your list here in a second before we do that. Remember, you don't just vote on election day, right? You have more than one vote every 2 years. You actually vote pretty much every day. You vote with your money. Now that corporations have decided they're going to be involved in politics, you vote every day with your money. With the goods and services you purchase, you are casting a vote every day. Who'd you vote for today? Maybe you're sitting there saying right now, Jesse, I don't know. Where do I go? I don't want to shop at these communist companies. Jesse, I wish there was a list. I get this all the time. Jesse, make a list. I wish there was a list. There is a list. Public SQ. Pick up your phone and download Public SQ in the App Store. It's a list, an ever-growing database, a list of the businesses in your area that share your values. You want to know how to vote right every day? Public SQ is your resource for it. Public SQ, go download it. We'll be back. All right, it's time to lighten the mood. First of all, happy Halloween. Second of all, I just want to remind everyone that I had the best Halloween costume this year, because I went as a female boxing champion, as you can see right there. Young lady next to me, the wife, second place. That's one. Two, I'm going to give you a little heads up about the best Halloween handouts, and there are going to be some surprises in here, at least one or two, so just bear with me, all right? Maybe you're scrambling last minute, get some Halloween stuff to hand out to the kiddos. Let's do some ranking. First of all, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. They have to be on everyone's list. It could easily be number one on this list. If you just need a backup and you need something everyone likes, just get Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, because no one has ever bitten into a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup and said, ooh, that's gross. They're freaking wonderful. Two, Sour Patch Kids. Also could be number one, but a lot of people don't like the sour candies like I do. I'm a sour candy freak, so I love Sour Patch Kids, but Sour Patch Kids. Three, Skittles, a classic. Who doesn't like taking a handful of Skittles that will then stain your hand with all the different Skittle colors and then shoving them into your mouth and just gnawing on it very obnoxiously for 3, 4, 5 minutes? That's part of being a kid and maybe an adult. Two, why does nobody buy Pixie Sticks anymore? It's basically legal cocaine. These little straws with the delicious sugar in there, you used to open up as a kid and pour into your mouth before you go into a sugar-induced coma and drive your parents crazy. Pixie sticks are amazing. Now, last, something you don't do and should do. You know what's underrated? Going against the grain. Surprising people, being different. Why do you watch this show? Is this show like other shows? No, it's different. You know what every kid is going to get when they go to the houses tonight? Candy. I'm going to get candy here and candy there and Reese's here and Sour Patch Kids here and he's gave me a Snickers and candy, 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 candy. You know what you need after too much sweet? A little savory. So here's what you're going to do tonight. You're going to go to the store. You're going to buy some mozzarella sticks. And you're going to spend the evening deep frying fresh batches of mozzarella sticks and handing mozzarella sticks out to the kiddos. Mark my words, when you've been getting candy all night and an adult hands you a mozzarella stick, as good as it gets. All right, I'll see you tomorrow.
Each morning, the President of the United States receives a highly classified briefing on the most important issues facing the country. It's called the President's Daily Brief, or PDB. It's delivered by America's spies and analysts. Well, now you can hear your very own PDB in the form of a podcast hosted by me, Brian Dean Wright, a former CIA operations officer. Each morning at 6 a.m. Eastern, I'll bring you 15 to 20 minutes of the most important issues facing the country, giving you the critical intelligence and analysis you need to start your morning.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart Podcast.